This is SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Craig Koshkin and Jermaine Avery.
Craig Koshkin here, filling in for Matt Perrault today. Chris Tubbs behind the glass as producer and co-host. I mean, call a spade, it is what it is. Love it. I love having someone to talk to. I was really worried I was going to spend 4 days this week just talking to myself, so I'm actually very excited that you are as part of it. Oh, no, he can't talk. He's lost it. It's my favorite part of any show I do during this time of year, this year. Going to get to talk World Cup. You can find him on Twitter at JerryBoKnows with a Z, not an S at the end. He's part of the Gambling Podcast Network.
That's when you know he's cool. When you got a Z at the end of it, you're bad.
Absolutely.
At it. You're legit.
He's also part of Sports Map, part of the Gal Media family. Welcome in, J-Bo Palomalu. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me, Craig. It's a big day for me with my heart and my soul, Columbia playing the next match. But when they told me that you wanted to have me on, I dropped everything, man. It's a pleasure being on.
Well, luckily, we scheduled you well in advance of that Columbia game. And I'll start there. Is James Rodriguez going to play?
Word in Columbia is that they're going to try to play him in at least a half. Now, FIFA has him listed as doubtful, and we're about to get that news. But it's the injury. Everything came back clean from the MRI, and it's a separate injury than what he was nursing coming into the World Cup. So that's all positive news. The thing is that he's never he's a person that doesn't recover from injuries fairly quickly, and it's been something that's happened to him many times throughout his career. So I guess we just pray and hope right now. But at the end of the day, we did it. We got Quintero and number 20 for Colombia, and the kid, he's a James without the defensive tactics. His vision for the ball, everything except for getting back and covering and the actual communication with the back line is where he lacks. But Colombia, they'll fight. They're going to fight today. I can guarantee you that. But I guess at this point, it's just all hopes and prayers from a fanatic.
Well, England was very impressive in the group stage. They played, I think they only played three people who played in the first two games in their game against Belgium in the final game, just trying to get some experience. And frankly, finishing second in that group was better off because you get the right side of the bracket, which is far more open than the left side of the bracket in the knockout stages. What does Colombia have in store for the potent offense, young but potent offense of England?
Well, Colombia knows that they're going to have to slow the game down. We can't get into a race, just a match full of pace just up and down this field. What we got to do is slow the game down and always make sure that we got men behind the ball. So the way they play this with Falcao, he's a player that plays with his back to the goal a lot of times, and he can hold the ball and let us catch up to him so we're not risking so much when we're trying to go forward. This game is going to be skill-wise, we know what they have, you know what I mean? But it's going to be a game of moments. We're going to take our chances in spurts, 10, 15-minute spurts. But at the end of the day, I think we don't even talk defense on this game because I think there's going to be some scoring. England, historically, you know, they struggle in big matches in World Cups.
They certainly do.
They're not just a given. And then also, just if we look at what they did in the group stages, you know, they allowed Panama to score, which it was their first goal ever. I mean, obviously, yes, it was their first World Cup, but they scored. They allowed Tunisia to score without their best goal striker, which is out for the World Cup. So they've allowed, and then also, obviously they allowed Belgium, but two B teams were playing. So they've allowed a goal every match. And Colombia is going to score. They scored with 10. They scored with 10 men versus Japan. They scored three on Poland, one against Senegal, which was everybody's favorite, you know, to be a Cinderella. And here we are again. And again, we played that last game without James for half of the game. So the chances are good. And always from a betting standpoint, from a straight betting standpoint, whenever you see one side getting torched on bets, and that's what's going on with England right now. They're getting pounded with bets right now. That's usually a good thing for the books because that's how these books are beautiful. That's how Vegas is built, off of these people pounding online. So if you're into that kind of thing, and I mean, it looks good for Colombia on that standpoint.
Do you think Cuadrado is going to get any time today, or is he going to be a starter? And if so, how effective do you think he can be against that England midfield in maybe controlling some of the possession?
And that's the thing with Cuadrado. His game is built off speed. And if you remember back in the Japan game, once we went down to 10 men in the third minute of the game, it was a lot of people ridiculed Peckerman, the coach, because he took out Cuadrado in that first half. And you're thinking, wow, you're going to take out one of our stars. But it was on the reverse side because he knows that Cuadrado also struggles to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Today he's going to play a big part because we need legs. England's built off of speed and strength. I mean, they got us beat all the way around. We got to beat them off tactics. And that's what it's going to take today. It's going to be a small ball kind of game. And Colombia's got to take – when they get their shots, they got to get it. And, I mean, just like anything else, we got to score. That's it. I know England's going to score in this game. And I know we got to backdoor that one.
Switching focus a little bit, how good was that Belgium-Japan game yesterday?
It's everything you want out of a match. Belgium really hasn't been tested.
Weakest group in the tournament. Came out of the weakest group in the tournament, for sure.
And yeah, and then if you see their qualifiers, they also are never tested. They're now on an 18. They won. They're unbeaten in 23 matches. That's 18 wins and 5 draws. So everybody was thinking it was going to be a runover yesterday. They were listed as minus 600 favorites to advance. So you have to risk $600 to win $100 just on them to advance yesterday. So,
wow.
I mean, so whenever Japan goes up 2-0 in that game and you go to check the live bet, it switched completely, and Belgium was listed at 5.5-1 to come back in advance.
So if you were playing the live betting, you could have really made some money after that 2-0 deficit.
Exactly. And, I mean, they say a lot of bettors were still backing it, even though history told you that teams rarely come back from being down 2 goals in a knockout round like that.
I think it was the first time since the 1950s that someone had come back from 2-0 in the knockout stage.
Yeah, you're correct. And then let's talk a little bit about Belgium and favorites for a moment, okay? And a lot of people that, let's say, just novice fans and gamblers to the game, when they see a tournament that's set up like this, it kind of reminds you of the NCAA tournament, you know, March Madness, and how the upsets and the Cinderellas come. But truth be told, like, this is the 21st edition of it, and no one outside of Europe and South America has ever won.
And only seven nations between the two of them have won it anyway. So it is the who's who of blue chip soccer nations winning the World Cup.
Exactly. So then, just let's take for this World Cup, for example, favorites straight up on a gambling aspect are 31-12, and then there's been the 11 draws. So for the most part, picking these underdogs has been tough. Now, when you bet soccer, there's three-way lines, so those draws do come into play, and they do pay nicely. But once you get this late in the tournament, you know that these powerhouses are going to do their work, whether they made it convincingly, like, I guess we could say Brazil did by holding Mexico to one shot in the game, on one shot on goal.
Yep.
Or if they do it like Belgium, to where you were hoping. I mean, at the end of the day, during that match, you thought at one point, like, okay, they're going to turn it up. Unfortunately, it came on a wacky header that I think was more of a cross than a shot.
It was very reminiscent, and I hate to cut you off, but it was very reminiscent of, if you remember, in 2002 when Landon Donovan opened scoring against Portugal on a cross that just found the net somehow.
Exactly.
That's exactly what that was from Vertonghen.
Yeah, man, and I guess sometimes you just need that little break, and then they put in Fellini, and all of a sudden he scores a header, and at that point you just felt it was just the way they orchestrated that counter. It's perfect. It was textbook from the way Courtois caught it, rolled it out, and then it was just a break. It was magical. It's heartbreaking for the Japan team, which, I mean, they surprised everyone, man. And that would have been one of the biggest upsets in round of 16 history, just the way it laid out on paper. They were the biggest favorite of the round of 16. And mysteriously, but I guess it gives us the match that we all want to see now, which is Brazil-Belgium. So that worked out for all of us.
I hate to bring another USA reference, but that breakout that got the last goal was very much very reminiscent of Tim Howard starting the break against Algeria in 2010.
Exactly.
And getting the U.S. through the group stage. You know, U.S. soccer, not something to brag about right now, but that just happens to be the two most analogous goals I can think of to what we saw yesterday.
And I think that scenario you speak of now is probably the golden moment in the U.S. soccer history. To me, it's in my following of them. I mean, that's the moment that sticks out the most to me.
I think that's probably correct. That, and the only other thing that's even remotely close is the 1-0 semifinal victory against Spain in the Confederations Cup a year before. But they couldn't hold a 2-0 lead against Brazil in the final, so it doesn't stand out as much. But you know, that is what it is. Looking forward, now that the quarterfinals will be set after the final game today, who do you expect to get through? Who are your two finalists as of right now?
You know, my heart is set on Brazil. Before the tournament, it was set on them just for everything that they went through, you know, in the last World Cup in 14 in on home soil. And I just think what they did in all the qualifiers, only losing one match throughout that whole qualifiers, being the first team to qualify, to earn qualification other than the host. This is their moment. I just don't know about them being able to win it on European soil just over time. Like you said, 9 out of the 10 World Cups on European soil have been won by European teams.
Yep.
Dating back to 1954, I believe, against Sweden, which was Brazil that they did. I mean, they did it in Sweden. But last World Cup, we saw that trend break with Germany winning in South America. So my heart is always going to be with Brazil, just being from South America and being really a strong follower of them. But
fair enough.
6 out of the last 9 World Cups, they've been listed as favorites, and they've only managed to win it one time, and that was in 94, as listed as a favorite. So favorites, usually them listed as a favorite, doesn't usually count. And favorites, period, overall, haven't since that 94 World Cup, only two favorites have won it, pre-tournament favorites, and that was them in 94 and Spain in 2010. And we all know that Spain team was their prime. They were winning Euros. They were doing
that was a juggernaut, just an absolute juggernaut. They didn't lose for like 4.5 years or something ridiculous. It's insane. Last question before I let you go. If I set the over under at 4.5 times, Neymar acts like he gets sniped against Belgium. What are you taking?
Over. I can't even explain the way he plays to my son anymore. I'm trying to get my son to get into soccer through World Cup, and I have to explain to him why Neymar's on the ground, and that's becoming a problem. I've been a true follower of Neymar since he played at Santos, and what he's doing now is not only ruining the matches we watch, but it's ruining for people that don't watch soccer and that are trying to get into it, and they see this, and it's just a black mark on our sport that something needs to happen. It's at the bottom of the, I mean, it's just getting out of hand now. I mean, he does it, and the people see it, the refs know it, and he's just never going to stop until we got to do something about it.
Needs to be red cards for simulation. That's just my personal opinion.
Something.
That'll get people to stop it immediately. That is Jerry Bow joining us here. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for taking some time out, and good luck to your Colombian side today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Craig. Let's get some goals today.
All right, let's see it. Have a good one.
Thanks.
That was Jerry Bow of the Gambling Podcast Network joining us. A lot of good insight on what's going on in the World Cup. Clearly wearing his Colombian heart on his sleeve. Good to hear from him, though. I think England wins today. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to spend with us. When we come back, probably talk a little more NBA. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.